Hey, it's Brad Biley, and welcome back to another episode of Take the Stage. This week, I'm joined by Angela Alberti, co-founder and chief strategy officer at MyBasePay. Having studied workforce trends an entire professional career, Angela is an expert in the human capital sector. She's a thought leader and advocates for the worker population with a specialized focus on contingent workers. Angela has held leadership and executive roles at some of the most recognized national and global on-demand employer platforms. She's an expert on employment-related matters and is passionate about driving advocacy for the external worker population. On this episode, you can expect to learn why staffing firms should offer temporary and contract opportunities. You'll hear directly from Angela on trends that might drive the use of contract staffing in 2024, and Angela shares a look at some of the hottest industry verticals right now. Join me and Angela Alberti as we take the stage. Angela, why should staffing firms offer temporary and contract assignments?
Yeah, so, you know, that answer involves so many different layers to consider as an agency owner and really looking at the state of the workforce and where that's expected to go in the next 5 to 10 year trajectory, because we know that it has evolved significantly in the last 3 years. Can we picture what the next 3 years is going to look like and how that's going to impact an agency owner? So specifically to answer your question, let's assume that you are one that primarily focuses on direct hire. There are fluctuations with direct hire that can impact the overall projections that your company looks to make and the margin that they take away every single month. Contract placement really offers you a stability in recurring revenue, and that really hasn't changed. But what has changed in terms of the benefit is that contract placements and contingent workers are only going to be looking to increase. Right now, if we wake up all across America, one out of every three of us are working a contract gig, a freelance gig, a temporary labor. So what is that going to look like in 5 years? And some studies indicate that one out of every two Americans are actually going to be working in some form of contingent nature. So you're not only positioning yourself in terms of better valuation for your business, more stability in recurring revenue, your business is making money while you are not working in it 100% of the time, but you're also preparing yourself for what we know and have determined to be the direction of the market.
You know, typically what I've seen throughout my now just over decade in the industry is we're very reactive instead of proactive. And what you're alluding to is looking 3, 5 years, 7 years down the road and saying, listen, here's what the data states now, and here's what the data is sort of leaning towards in, let's call it 2026. That is exactly where the industry needs to be, right?
Absolutely. Just because of what the pandemic has done to us in understanding what the future of work is. And it's so often that we hear that phrase, future of work this, future of work that. But what does it really mean? It means a couple of different things. Thanks to the pandemic, the future of work is now, right? It's no longer like happening in 2030. We are living it because of the globalized nature that work is being performed at, right? Clients are now looking into markets across the world that they didn't once consider because that work is now deliverable in that locality. So as a staffing agency owner, are you prepared to respond to globalization? Are you prepared to respond to remote working capabilities, right? We know that the pandemic, just like I'm reporting to you from my home, I didn't do that before the pandemic. So not only can you tap into these candidate pools, but you also need to be prepared to tap into them from a contract nature, right? So what's going to be your support system that allows you to properly payroll folks in that locality? Because we know it's happening and it's here. And it's also what technology has done to kind of embrace this all together. So yeah, it's preparing for the future, but it's also knowing that there's a demand in the market that's happening now because of it, and we're living through it. And as much as we want to prepare, it's happening all around us.
I certainly don't have the data to think about how fast the pandemic sort of sped up the future of work. As like you said, it's now, but you know, you're coming to me from your home office, I'm recording from my home office. We haven't been in the office since the pandemic, right? And Haley Marketing shows no signs of ever going back to the office. What that's done for us is it's opened us up to a huge team that is accessible anywhere. And the thought of, you know, you being able to access global talent to grow your organization, or better, to help your clients' organizations,
is incredible. You know, when I think about temporary assignments in Buffalo, New York, there's limited roles. There's limited candidates for those positions. These contract opportunities that might open us up to not only sort of, I don't want to say globalize, but maybe on a national scale, open up new opportunities, but also opens up the candidate pool. It gives us as an industry and as an agency so much more opportunity to grow and scale.
Absolutely. The opportunities to be able to tap into globalized talent pools or even national talent pools are absolutely there. And it's now just taking it into the step of, is my team prepared to take on temporary and contract roles outside of Buffalo, New York, right? What are going to be the mechanics in making sure that we are running through things compliantly on the basis of the regulatory aspect for that particular location? And New York as a state is a great place to start because it's very administratively and there's a lot more liability in a state like New York, right? But are you positioning yourself to be able to tell your client, absolutely, I can payroll that receptionist that's working from home in Texas because, you know, it seems to be a better fit. We can do the work from home. Now what's going to be my response strategy in ensuring that they are running through in a compliant manner in that state so that we can actually be able to say yes to the client, broaden our talent pool, and do so in a manner that is compliant.
Talk to me, somebody that's listening right now that says, yeah, that sounds incredible, but I don't even know where the heck I would get started. Right now, I am only doing temporary staffing in Buffalo. I love the thought of expanding outside of this city. I don't know about payrolling in Texas. I don't know about HR in Texas. I don't know about any of this. Where would somebody like that even remotely get started?
Well, so there's two options for you to consider at that point. Is it worth the investment for me to establish the infrastructure to set up within that locality, whether it be somewhere super friendly like Texas or somewhere a little bit more foreign like a California or a Canada, which is very close to where Buffalo is located. So is it worth the investment for me to even consider getting a form of general counsel set up? An HR person that has the reliability to know and understand what it takes to process payroll and employ somebody in that locality? And furthermore, can we take those facets into the price that we choose to expand into that market to remain competitive with the established agencies that are already there or already placing people there? So there's a lot to go into that. And I think that what you need, as with anything in staffing, is an absorbable amount of volume. And if that volume does not exist, then your best bet is to look to outsource it. And there's different ways that you can outsource it. You can look to consider what that cost and undertaking is with your existing, potentially a PEO relationship. Or there's also EORs that exist, like MyBasePay, that offer a more turnkey solution that insulate your business from the liability and going into that market. But also allow you to tap into the demand of, hey, I need this person to start next week. Can you get them on payroll sort of nature that we work in and out of every single day?
Yeah. I mean, just my perspective, it seems like an easier execution to outsource that function and partner with somebody, right? I think when we look at playing to our strengths as an industry, or we look at playing to our strengths, even from a marketing standpoint, you know what you're good at and you know sort of the lane that you should stay in. And when you get into the legalities of now hiring in a foreign state's kind of a weird way to say that, but a foreign state, and you're not sure what to do, you're not sure where to go, it seems to me like the most efficient and easy way to go about it is to find a trusted partner.
Absolutely, right? It's going to be your more accelerated track, especially if you don't have the bandwidth or the volume to substantiate the investment. I would also say, you know, your comment on, hey, it's not the staffing industry's strong suit is absolutely true, but it's the greatest exposure that any agency would ever have is not necessarily what ATS system that you have, what marketing agency that you're running with Haley, how you're getting your front office operations. The greatest exposure and liability that agencies have all encompass your back office and everything that happens once a candidate has been identified in the temporary space. Knowing where the future of work is going, then you also have to know and accept that regulatory bodies like the IRS, like certain state institutions, like the Department of Labor, they've all upped what they do to further allow for you know, regulatory oversight and employee rights in these different localities as well.
Angela, there's so much to break down there. And I'm sitting here just thinking from a staffing perspective, when we look at right now, what I'm seeing as I talk to clients throughout the industry, finding orders is incredibly difficult. You know, finding candidates is becoming a little bit easier, but you know, I talked to a great client the other day who said their business is down about 51%. Somebody the week prior was just under 50%. And being able to open up to contract opportunities outside of, hey, who's hiring in Buffalo, I think plays into a little bit of the economy. It plays into where are their hotbeds, where are their hot spots, what industries might be thriving. And I'm going to get to another question here in a second, but I've always been a little bit hesitant to say we should break out into new markets or we should break out into new industries. You know, when you find your slice of the pie, when you find your niche and you can own it, I've always been under the impression and my belief is that's where you can thrive. Why should a staffing firm think to maybe break out of their local area or their niche to consider something like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's a big leap of faith. And I think with anything as a business owner, you have to be willing to take a risk and understanding, you know, what is going wrong with this economic slow downturn that most of the industry experienced this year, that you can look to future proof your business if it happens again next year or the year after, considering all of the different changes that are happening. So if it's worth the investment to be able to future proof your business and offer more stability, then absolutely one of the ways to look at it is going in through different directions of the market and on a national basis, which very well could be areas that your existing clients have needs in as it stands. So have you considered your existing client base and knowing whether or not they're a national chain that you can tap in through other markets as well? Or have you considered your niche and what that is representative in another state that's pretty local to you, but could also be a different area that you could tap into? Have you considered potentially investing into a business development or a salesperson that can look at these avenues from a different lens and that maybe comes with an existing Rolodex of contacts that would help kind of accelerate what we know the pipeline to be when you're going in through those new markets as well?
Yeah, one area that I think is drastically overlooked in our industry is driving new business from current clients. It's not going out and trying to fish for new business from somebody who's never heard of you or has never spoken to you. It's, I'm already placing, you know, 25 individuals at Angela's Widget Factory in Buffalo. And I know that they also have locations in Cleveland and Pittsburgh and San Diego and Dallas, and then sort of moving with them. Now, the conversation that we're having is there's a huge opportunity in potentially partnering with somebody like MyBasePay to help facilitate that, to make it a little bit easier, because as you start thinking about payroll in different areas, that becomes a little muddy, right? So walk us through somebody who's saying, yeah, that's me, right? I am working with a company in Buffalo who also has locations outside of the area. Again, where might I get started? And give us sort of that overview.
Yeah, looking at the existing structure, who's your point of contact, the POC at that location that you can leverage and ask, hey, did you know that we also support temp and contract? And I understand that you guys are in other markets. Could you introduce me to the person that oversees that process or potentially give me some insight onto how I can potentially go and service those different facilities and locations that you have all across? Did you also know that we can help service you in these locations? So just opening up the box with your existing client is going to be a good way to start. Another unique strategy that we actually mentioned at NAPS when we had the chance to speak on the topic is, have you placed people there, right? Have you placed people there and have you given follow-ups to them on what the culture is like? Is there temp assignments there? Do you understand what the nature of working with the national chains as part of being in this branch looks like? You know, any type of other intel that you can look to get that has your existing contact structure, whether that be from the client or people that you've already placed there, is definitely a way to start. And it's the number one way that we always recommend folks to tap into further expanding their client portfolio. What are you doing to ask these questions? And we actually compiled some of those questions to some of the members that typically work with in knowing, like, do you have temp and contract needs? Are there other markets that you can service us into? Can you direct me to that point in person. It seems like very logical things, but as staffing and recruiting owners, this is where we shine, right? That asking these questions in a script should be almost like a standard to follow with every single client that you're working with.
Hey, I want to take a short pause to tell you about the Smart Ideas newsletter from Haley Marketing. You need ideas to help strengthen your staffing company, ideas to boost sales, ideas to help you compete, and you don't have time to waste. With the Smart Ideas newsletter, each Saturday morning, you'll receive one actionable idea, a specific strategy you can immediately put into action to help grow your business. Ready to get started? Visit HaleyMarketing.com to sign up today. All right, let's get back to the show.
You know, one thing that I'm hearing in this conversation, I've heard in a couple on Take the Stage, is sort of this theme of imposter syndrome, right? Is thinking through, you know, we staff in Buffalo. We work locally in Buffalo, New York. Those markets are for other people. That's not for me. I shouldn't be asking about staffing in Pittsburgh. I don't know anything about Pittsburgh. And again, a common theme I'm hearing is we are capable of doing this and you are capable of doing this. And we often sell ourselves short. You know, we're not asking for more business because we're afraid of the no. We're afraid of hearing no. We're not asking, oh, well, who is in charge of staffing in the Buffalo location? Can you put us in contact? Even though we've worked with the person in Buffalo for 15 years and have a great relationship, we have this sort of inherent imposter syndrome of, I'm not ready for that. I can't ask those questions. I can't have that conversation. And friends, I'm here today to say, yes, you can. And Angela's here today to say, yes, you can as well, because she's seeing it with the clients that she's working with.
Absolutely. We have so many different members that have set up to utilize our platform for that very same reason. You're expanding with your existing clients. Relationships, like 15-year relationships, 15 years of development of rapport, to simply say to them that you can service everywhere now. And you have an infrastructure or in a backing that allows you to do that. Because typically, even as a staffing agency, you're usually focusing on a couple of different states, but you want to be able to tap into remote work and you don't want to be able to do it in a way that's going to involve a significant amount of administrative and financial investment. So you can go to your clients and say that there's models out there that have allowed you to do so. Whether or not you choose to include that information or not doesn't really matter. They need to know that you can help and that you maybe even started to recruit some of those candidates that would be potential fits for those remote roles that they're looking for on a temporary or contract nature. Be two steps ahead of them and know that you've developed that rapport for a reason and that you have withstood that reputation that now is ready to take it to the next chapter, which is a direct involvement to where the market is going anyways in offering this type of service. The staffing agency and what it looks like 20 years ago, 5 years ago is extremely different. And it's super exciting to know that you can expand into these different areas and insulate your business in times of very distressed and slow downturn by offering a more versatile and diversified portfolio of services.
It is certainly a new industry. And in a lot of ways, it's the same. You know, I've had the opportunity, as you have, to you know, I've been at probably about 50 industry conferences now across the country. And so it's not just saying like, hey, this is what's going on in New York. It's certainly all across the country. Things are changing and there's a buzz about it and you can feel that buzz. And friends, that's why we bring you Take the Stage. You know, we're thinking about how can we bring great, great speakers like Angela to you on a biweekly basis so that if you're not attending these great associations and conferences, you can still get these great insights. Angela, I want to talk about specifically trends that you're seeing as it relates to contract staffing in 2024. What's on your horizon? And maybe speak to me again, Brad, who's listening, who isn't really in this world, right? I'm not really in contract staffing yet, but you're catching my attention. Why should I pay even more attention to it in 2024?
Yeah, so I think there's so many different facets into why we know contract labor is going to increase, right? So like I said, there's this remote, there's this globalization, there's a generational impact that we now know is overseeing the largest segment of the market, which is the millennials and the Gen Zers, and in many different ways value skills over tenure at organizations. They value going through different opportunities or gigs so that they can up their skills and offer a more powerful arsenal of services to their client while maintaining control of their own career. So not only is this expectation happening because of the remote work and the globalization, but it's actually a preference amongst the generational impact and the candidates that you are now placing for. Outside of that, we know that some trends that we're seeing in contract labor are directly tied and entrenched in those ideologies of future of work, right? So a lot of the different agencies that we've had set up to utilize us not only are looking at different states where they can propose candidates, but are also talking to their clients about different international markets that they may have needs in, right? So we know traditionally, especially, let's take a look at IT, right? IT has been very popular in outsourcing certain departmental structures to areas in APAC, like India and the Philippines. But there's actually a resurgence of these same structures now all over Canada and Latin America. And it's being termed as nearshore instead of offshore. So, you know, looking at your clients' needs and whether or not there's international capabilities, there's also, you know, a lot of trends that are happening on the direct sourcing front. If you guys are familiar with what is direct sourcing, whereby many different in clients are actually looking to establish their own pool of temporary talent. So knowing that one of the largest trends of the in client base is actually direct sourcing, what are you doing as an agency owner to be prepared that one of your potential competitors is a client that's looking to establish their own talent pool of temporary workers in their locality? Is there a way that you can look to bridge the gap and be that preferred payrolling and curator of the talent that they, in some cases, are looking to already internally build? So globalization and direct sourcing are definitely areas that I think are going to be talked about more in 2024.
It's all about future-proofing your business, right? And you've alluded to that now multiple times. It makes sense to be able to do things outside of your backyard. It makes sense to be able to scale your business. And friends, that's going to bring us to an interesting question here about messaging, which is really my world as it relates to marketing and thinking through, well, how do I go from I'm Brad's staffing firm in Buffalo, New York, to now I offer contract opportunities and I work with companies across the country? Angela, you've seen this firsthand. You work with clients who have done this, who have gone from, I have 15 clients in Buffalo. And I know I keep using Buffalo as an example because that's where I am. And as you've seen me speak before, I say it's the greatest city in the world. But if you've gone from, you know, I staff Buffalo, New York to now I'm sort of this entity that can staff anywhere. I have contract opportunities in multiple states. I'm sourcing candidates in multiple states. That changes things from a messaging standpoint. Angela, you've seen it firsthand. Where do you get started with something like that?
You know, I would take a look at what's the success story of you maintaining that local presence and applying it to a narrative that now is national, right? It really is, we're taking these same principles that you have reaped the benefit of and expanding that talent pool to folks that, you know, are going to have the same services, but in different markets and areas. And it maybe sounds a lot more simpler than what it truly is. But if you know what your strong suits are, how can you apply that same value proposition to an audience that now is national so that you can offer, you know, those competitive differentiators to everywhere that is on the market? So start with what you know and expand into that narrative on a national basis or on a global basis. Those are the same principles that have gotten you the success, and they should maintain on a national or a wider audience that you're looking to cast.
I could not agree more. And when I think about it, it's understanding what your true differentiators are, what your true value proposition is. And friends, I'm going to break it to you. As an industry, we don't know what our differentiators are. Stereotypically, you know, we say, oh, well, we've been in business in Buffalo for 40 years, or, you know, it's our speed, or it's our team. That's really not a differentiator because your competitors are saying the exact same thing. So to Angela's point, to my point, what makes you unique? What are your differentiators? What is your value proposition? And then as you scale into new markets, how do you bring that? Yes, we have trusted experience in Buffalo and we're bringing it now to San Diego because there's a need here. Angela, I think there's also, and you've alluded to this on the show now a couple times too, of having social proof or having proof that you can walk the walk and talk the talk. Right, I can go and say I'm the best staffing firm in the world, but if I don't have the testimonials and the case studies and the data and all of the success stories behind me to back that up, well, then who's going to believe me, right? So I think if you're taking your value proposition, your differentiators, you have strong key messaging about what makes you unique. Friends, if you're an EOS organization, you know about identifying your uniques and thinking about what truly, truly makes you unique when you think about standing next to your competitor. Are you leveraging that? Are you using that to your advantage? Or are you picking up the phone and saying, hey, I'd love to give you some temps because I've been in business for 40 years, because friends, no one cares about that. It's a raw truth, and maybe you need your friendly take the stage to tell you that.
I love that. It's very true. We are an EOS organization as well, undergoing a significant business transformation. It's healthy to do that. It's healthy to take the time to know that your company values are aligned to the direction of where your organization wants to go. And it is knowing what those differentiators are. Ours are very simple, right? There's humans that are actually on the other side. So you can pick up the phone and call us, old school way, right? It's not just this bot that's going to be responding to you on mission critical functions that impact your candidate's payroll. It also has a lot to do with the fact that we take ownership in when things go awry, which they will go awry in a temporary and contract space. So knowing that you have a team that's going to own up the issues that happen is also significant. And you know, those are just two examples that you can look to incorporate as part of a campaign strategy, right? Always reverting to those bullet points on what your differentiators are and how you can apply those same metrics and measures to a different geographic locations and expanding into diving deeper, further, wider into your client base that already exists that you've worked so hard to curate is a great way to start.
Angela, before we get to our rapid fire round here, if anybody listening is saying, hey, this sounds great to me, I want to learn more, how can they get a hold of you? How can they learn more about My Base Pay?
Yeah, definitely visit us at mybasepay.com. I'm also on LinkedIn, Angela Alberti. Last name is Albert with a Y at the end for those of you guys that are listening in to make it easier for everyone.
And if you just want to click a link, we'll make sure we link to Angela's LinkedIn bio and My Base Pay in the show notes or the description, depending on where you're watching or listening to this show.
Hey, it's Brad again. Before we get to the rapid fire round, I want to tell you about Haley Marketing. Take the Stage is presented by Haley Marketing. At Haley Marketing, we make world-class marketing easy, fast, and affordable. Marketing for the staffing industry is all we do. And if you need help with your marketing stack, whether that's a staffing website, digital marketing, branded content, recruitment marketing, or marketing technology, we would love to help. You can visit HaleyMarketing.com to learn more today. All right, let's get to the rapid fire round.
Angela, before I let you go, we got to get through our rapid fire round that we ask everybody that joins us on Take the Stage. Are you ready for it?
I am ready for it. Let's do it.
Question one, one book that has changed your life.
Atomic Habits, no doubt. It's all about, it's not the end result, it's the path that gets us there.
Love that. One 30-minute conversation with anybody, we'll say living or dead, who would you pick?
Mother Teresa.
Good comment. Wow, we haven't gotten Mother Teresa yet on the show. That's a very good
answer. Yeah, there you go. Yeah, she's kind of a pillar to try to reach, right?
Absolutely, right? I mean, if you're going to talk to somebody, why not go all the way to the top? And then, of course, I want one piece of advice that you would give to somebody just starting in the staffing or recruiting industry.
Whew, that is a powerful one. So one piece of advice that I would give to anyone starting in the staffing and recruiting industry. I would assume that this person already has been in the staffing and they're looking to take that leap of faith on their own. Is just simply the fact that you know that you can do this and there's availabilities and systems out there that let you offer what you want to offer at a very easy and affordable way to do it. So look at what other resources are out there, minimize your liability, and get to work on what you know you're good at, which is BD and recruiting. The rest of it is available for you to figure out and outsource as much as you can.
Friends, she's Angela Alberti with My Base Pay. Angela, I want to thank you for taking the stage with us, and I'll see you at a conference soon.
Thank you guys so much. This was a lot of fun. Brad, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor.
It was great. I enjoyed it. Had a good time. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Likewise. Thanks, everyone.